Amen. I tell you, it's a blessing. I count it a privilege. Really, just to sit and listen would have been more than adequate for me. I don't really need. I guess I'm someplace in my life where I don't need recognition too much anymore. My wife would probably differ on that, but. You get to a place in life where you start seeing things from a different perspective. And you watch the Lord do his things. It's been a weird year for me, strange all over the place. I get I probably shouldn't do this. I knocked my tooth out. I'm saying that for a reason. I knocked the tooth out, and I'm going to get my Joel Osteen smile. I went to the dentist, and they said, look, you got to replace this. And things happen weird in life, and you don't know why they happen that way. They just do. And you allow them to happen, and you say, Lord, I don't understand why. Why that just happened to me? And, I got through my whole life with this thing. Why in the world of 63 am I losing this thing? Because now they got to replace the other one. But the lady said, hey, while we're replacing that, let's just whiten everything up, and your teeth will all be white. And then you'll smile, and you'll have this glowy thing. So I want to get this little thing and put in my mouth. So when I smile, I click the button and it goes, ee. Now, you may think that's crazy. Take your Bibles, go to Romans. The Lord does things in your life sometimes where you don't really realize the stuff is happening. And you just got to sometimes back away and say, okay, Lord, I don't know why all this is happening this year, but it's happening for a purpose that you have that goes far beyond what we think. Romans chapter 15, verse 1 says this, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself. Man. Every time I read that verse. But it is written. I thought I could get through that verse. The reproaches of them that reproach me fell on thee. Or that fell on the reproaches. Man, I'll get through this thing. The reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. I said, man, that's my sin. Oh, man. I get it. All right, Lord. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Father, thank you for your blessings this morning. What a book. What a book, Lord. If we ever needed a time in our life, Lord, that this book come alive, we need it now. Lord, there's people in this crowd right here that need help. Lord, I need help. Lord, we all need help. Lord, but we need this book to become a life thread for us, Lord. It's always been a blessing to me. But this year, it's become even a little bit more than that. Lord, I just want to thank you for it. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for what you've done for us. Lord, thank you that the reproaches that we've reproached fell on thee. Because, Lord, we couldn't get there without that. And, Lord, you made a way for us. And, Lord, what a blessing that is. And it's a joy. Lord, I just pray that you, for the next couple minutes, Lord, that you'd let me be a blessing to the body of believers, Lord. And, Father, again, bless the message. We'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I was coming through this passage. The Lord gave me this a couple weeks ago, and Dr. Peacock asked. He said, just think, have your mind thinking about something. And this passage came right up in my daily reading. I was sitting there. It says, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, or of the infirmities of the weak. And I started thinking about it. I said, so many of us, a lot of times we start thinking it's about us. And really, brother, it never was about us. And it never will really be about us. And sometimes trials we go through in life bring us to a point where we start thinking in our minds about us. And if you get your mind off of you and realize that there's other people around you that may need just a little bit more comfort than you, and maybe you are the one that can actually help them to get them just a little bit further. He goes on in verse 5 there. He says, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another, to Christ Jesus. I mean, according to Christ Jesus. Isn't that a concept that we all would be in unity, thinking the same way and trying to encourage? And we're not all the same. You're talking about out of place. I feel sometimes totally out of place.
I mean, down here, everybody's got masters and doctorates and bachelors and all this. I said, man, Lord, I said, I can't even write books. Books, man. I can't even read a book. I think I can't even write a sentence half the time. And I said, Lord, I'm out of place. He goes, no, you're not out of place with me. He said, you're right where you're supposed to be with me. He said, have you ever thought that maybe I want you exactly where you're at? I said, yeah, Lord, that's exactly where I need to be. He says, and he goes there, and in verse 7, he goes, wherefore receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. So Paul's sitting here saying, hey, he came to Abraham and his seed, but boy, that next verse says, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. You know what we need to do? We need to learn how to just glorify Jesus. Amen. Brethren, our problem is, okay, the world stinks. Okay, I stink. Everything stinks. Jesus don't. He never did. I'm telling you, he has lit me up sometimes where I thought there was no... somebody told me that I should be listening to Adrian Rogers every now and then. So I do. And then I get worse because I'm like, I can't ever be like that. Look at that guy, man. He's like perfect. I wore my suit because of you, brother. This is as blue as I could get. I thought I want to be like Joe. And my wife dressed me, by the way. She brings all my stuff. I don't have to worry about that. She's a good woman. She loves me. She tells me my hair's messed up on the back. I said, I don't ever look back there. I don't care. Why would anybody care? But anyway, he goes on, and he's sitting here talking, and he goes, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. Again, he saith, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. And again, Isaiah saith, there shall be a root out of Jesse. Man, what a blessing that root is. And he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound, not just get there a little bit, but abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. I was sitting there looking at this passage, and I kept saying, Lord, how in the world do you want me to preach that thing? And you come up with 1,000 different ways to do it, and all of a sudden, they said, last night, just expound on it. Yeah. Brethren, you know, a lot of times we have a Bible sitting in us, and Paul laid this thing out for us in such a way that if you just read it and let the Holy Spirit guide you through this thing, you don't need a whole lot. All you need to do is just believe it. You just need to believe it. You know what our problem is belief. It isn't that we don't have the book in our hand. There's a lot of people that say, well, I have a King James Bible, but did you go that next step and believe it? I mean, do you believe it? I believe it. I like Psalms 90.9, sounds like a radio station. For all our days are passed away in wrath. I'm turning 63 in a couple days. We spend our years as a tale that is told. Your life is told. I'm scared to death. I'm 63. I'm like, oh, I don't want to mess up, man. I said, I got a couple years left. 70 is going to go on and say that here. For the days of our year are 70, and if by reason of strength, they be 80 years, yet is there strength and labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us. Man, they talk about being taught last time. You know, you gotta always keep your mind in the teaching. I feel like I should go back to Bible college and learn some more stuff. I'm like Brother Evans, man. I think maybe that's what I should do, just chunk everything and start all over again. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Teach shows up in your Bible 9 times. And most of them are all of them are actually in the book of Psalms. Teach me. I like it. Psalm 119. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. 26. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. 64, 68. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. 124. Deal with thy servant according to unto thy mercy, and teach me thy statutes. 135 says this, make thy face to shine upon thy servant and teach me thy statutes. I come across this other verse in 108, and it says, accept, I beseech, the free will offering in my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. And I'm sitting there, I said, Lord, six times more that you want to teach me thy statutes, the laws, and what to do instead of judging me. I said, Lord, you don't want to condemn me. You want me to learn and do it. Not condemn. You want to learn and do it. You know what our problem a lot of times is? We expect everybody to be just like us. And you do what I tell you. And that's wrong. That's wrong. Everybody's different. And sometimes it takes everybody a little bit of different time to get to a place somewhere else in life that maybe God did something. You weren't like me and you didn't go through what I went through. I didn't go through what you went through. However, we still have the same Lord. We still have the same Jesus. And he loves me just as much as he loves you. And he loves you whether you think he does or not. And he loves me whether you think he does or not. And he's going to get us all through. And I really don't care who is in charge of nothing. And I'll stop right there. My brother called me yesterday. He goes, Mike, are you in Florida? I said, yeah. He goes, what are the Christians saying about this, 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 and this? I said, I don't think they're going to say nothing. He goes, what? They're all saying. I said, he goes, don't you? I said, no. I said, I know who's in charge. I don't have to worry about that. He's always been in charge. He goes, oh, yeah, I guess so. I don't understand. I really don't. I mean, I got my guts, and my guts is like, I had my preferences, but hey, who cares really when it gets right down to it? I know who's in charge. I got a Bible that sits here. The scripture is sitting right here in front of me all the time. And the Lord says, I want to teach you to get you through. What's got me through for 40 years is that book. Amen. Nothing else. You can already tell my brilliance isn't going to get me through. My good looks isn't going to get me through. My smile ain't going to get me through. Nothing's going to get me through. I'm saying, Lord, I said, no matter what I do, you still love me. I'm at a point, and I'm starting to think, and I was talking to Doc about that not a week or two ago, and I said, you know, I mean, he knows everything from the start to the finish, and he knows what I'm going to do tomorrow, and he knows already where I'm going to mess up, and he still loves me. Now, I don't know where I'm going to mess up, and he's trying to keep me from doing that. You know how he's trying to keep me from doing that? This. He says, hey, if you would just read this and do it, I would have to spank you. I'm like, yes. I don't know about you, but boy, man, my dad used to wear me out. And in that, he finally turned into an alcoholic. He just couldn't do it. My dad turned his life back over to Jesus Christ at 87. And I was tickled pink, man, in 1987. And he goes, and for 30 years, I mean, that night when he turned his life over, he said, Mike, and I thought he's lost. And he goes, I got saved in 1957. He gave me a day, hour, and a minute, man, when he got saved. I couldn't do that. I couldn't tell you. I know kind of when the season, maybe spring, the fall area, maybe October, November time frame, somewhere, maybe September. But I couldn't tell you exactly the moment I got saved. But he could. And he goes, I got saved in 1957. I'm like, wait a second. That was the year I was born. I wonder if I caused him to be an alcoholic. He looked at me and said, I quit and there's no hope. And he just goes out and... But I'll tell you what, brother, you know what? When I watched my dad do that thing, he taught me a very valuable lesson about people. He says, you never know who you're talking to. And I love them all. He goes, Mike, I loved your dad. I still do. I love you, and I love this person. But sometimes judgment has to come, and there's nothing you can do. Statute is a law or decree made by a sovereign or by God. Our Bible's full of statutes and laws. And what you do is you read through there. You're supposed to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ so you can help somebody else. Not only yourself, but somebody else. I like Psalm 24:4. It says, show me thy ways, O Lord, and teach me thy paths. That path sometimes is a hard path to go down, and sometimes you got to go by yourself. But it's a great path to be. Verse 5 in Psalm 25:5 says, Lord, it says, lead me in thy truth and teach me. You always have to be in a mode where you can be taught. If you can't, if you get to the place where you cannot be taught or learn something from somebody else, you've lost it. You've done lost it. Now, just because you know something, if you know something, I used to tell everybody all the time, I'd get on a ship, I'm right and you're wrong. I don't care what you think. Now, you prove me I'm wrong, I'll change. But until you prove me I'm wrong, I have to go by what I think I know. And I can't let nobody, if the Lord puts something in my heart and I know that if I do this, he's going to smack me into the next universe, then I'm not going to do that. No matter how bad I want to do it, I'm just not going to do it unless it's a chocolate cake or something. I can't handle that stuff. We went into a fish place down here. One of the guys at the church said, God, I got to have fish. So we took him to a fish place, and they had this big old cheesecake looking thing, and had this like this much chocolate and gooey stuff at the bottom and like a cheesecake and all this caramely stuff on top and then nuts on. I said, I got to have one of those. And I did. Beth said, Beth goes, you shouldn't eat that as she's eating half of it. Jared, he says, lead me in thy truth. Truth is the greatest thing in the world. You got a Bible sitting there. I don't like truth sometimes when I sit there and read. I hate scales. I hate them things. Because you get on them. Somebody called me. I wouldn't say Bobby called me and said, hey, man, I figured out a good scale. I said, what? He said, put it on carpet, man. It don't read right. I said, yes, what a way to do that thing, man. Jeremiah 10:23, getting serious here. It says, oh, Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. You know, the hardest thing you'll ever figure out in your life is that you can't do it. There's no possible way you can do it. I love Jeremiah. Jeremiah's a great book. He said, it is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. He says, oh, correct me. Now, if Jeremiah said that, you could bet your bottom dollar that's truth. Whether you don't want to believe it or not, that's exactly what it says. It says, oh, Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. You cannot stand before God and take a judgment. You can't. It's just impossible. David didn't do it. Jeremiah said, let's don't do it. What you got to do is you got to grow. I come across a study that they did in a hospital, so I hope you don't take this wrong, anybody, because I know that a lot of us have been through medical things, but several years ago, and I don't know how many years this was, they did a research up in Chicago Billings Hospital. It was a seminar on death. And when I read through this thing, something at the very end of this thing grabbed me, and I said, Lord, that's us. Psychiatrists, chaplains, nurses, medical doctors studied the ultimate human crisis of facing death. Everybody in this room knows one of these days we're going to die. Basic finding is that the very ill proceed through five emotional stages on their way to death. The first stage is denial. That's, you need to get saved. You're going out. Oh, no, I can't. Oh. They go to 1,000 different things why they won't. Here the patient is unwilling to accept his fate and nature of his predicament. And there's a lot of people like that. And sometimes you just need to help them. I mean, that's all you can do. The second stage is when physical indications make denial no longer possible. By the patient, anger sets in. And then they get mad at everybody. Well, I've seen a lot of Christians like that. The third stage, the patient starts bargaining. I'll do this. I'll change my life. I'll do whatever. And as they're going through here, they get to the fourth stage and said the most difficult stage is that of increasing depression. And I've watched this year, and so many people are depressed about what's going on and being caged up and everything else. But the patient finally realizes what is happening to him and enters a time when he is actually grieving for his own demise. And it's a trying time for both the patient and the loved ones. It is. It's a rough time. And I'm not trying to make anything light of anything like that, but it was the end of this thing. He says, however, Dr. Ross said that following the fifth and final stage is that of acceptance. You know, Paul said, I die daily. I'm crucified with Christ, therefore I live. You got to get to the place in your life somewhere where you say, okay, Lord, I'm yours. I am thine, O Lord. I've heard thy voice. I'm yours. And whatever you say I'll do, that's what I'll do. And I'm going to learn, and I'm going to live, and I'm going to learn. This is what I thought was interesting about this study. He says, an interesting note of the study was that if a patient is interrupted in any one of these circles of suffering until he reaches the end, he merely prolongs his agony. Brother, I'll tell you what, so many times we live on this side over here, and we need to go over there. We just need to settle this thing and be done with it. The world don't like Jesus Christ, never liked Jesus Christ. Pilate didn't like him. They did whatever they could to get rid of him. They did. And they thought they won. They really lost. But we need to get on this side. and we need to just be like Paul and die daily. I said all of that to say a few other things. Romans 15:1, I'm going to get right back there. When we are strong, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. How do you treat weak people in your churches? They're just like us, brother. I was that way once. Man, I got saved. The Lord wouldn't even let me get to church for 4 years after I got saved. I was messed up. I had to learn some things. And then I got in church and I had to learn some more things. And the more I went down through there, the more I had to learn. And I'm just thanking God for every man and lady that had grace with me all the way through that thing. We ought to, when people walk in the door, try to love them and try to help them. Some you just cannot. I got that. But some, I mean, you know, all that some people needs is just a little comfort. The scripture says right here, comfort of the scriptures. This book is, although it's a two-edged sword, we shouldn't have to use it to kill people left and right. I don't mind street preaching. I think street preaching is a great thing. If your motive's right, if you're out there just trying to tear somebody's head off, I think you're doing it the wrong way. If you're out there trying to win souls and get the word of God, I had a lady, I was street preaching one time, and she said, they can't hear you. They all got their windows up. I said, ma'am, can I ask you a question? She goes, yeah. I said, do you think that person will ever get into a church? She goes, well, probably not. I said, well, how are they going to ever hear the word of God? She goes, I guess you're going to have to street preach. I'm thinking, what a concept, man. I mean, when you start to come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Have you ever thought about talking to somebody and explaining to them why you're doing what you're doing? I'm serving God. Where's the joy at? Where's that smile at on your face? You know, they need to see this every now and then. I thank God for Brother Yoakum back here. He goes, brother, you okay? I said, yeah, I'm okay. He goes, I thought you were dying or something. I thought I was, man. I thought it was already over. I was in the hospital and they're going to pronounce me dead here in a few minutes. Somebody else had seen something that wasn't normal on me. And they thought, well, hey, let's start praying for him. And they started praying for him. What a concept, man. We care for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Isn't that kind of strange? We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. I don't need anything anymore. I got everything I need. I got Jesus Christ, and the more I go down this path, I got all I need. You know what I really like doing now is helping people. I'm watching, I'm learning. I said, Lord, the more I can help them, if the Lord takes me out of here, I'm 63. If I do go 70, if I make it to 70, I might make it to 80. I don't know, but if I only make it to 70, then I get out of here. What are they going to do? Who's going to help them, the next generation, get through this thing? It's not my ministry, it's his. It's always been his. It's everything is his, it's not mine. For even Christ pleased not himself. My Lord didn't please himself. When I sit there and read my Bible, everything he did was for me. I'm thinking, Lord, why would you do that? Because I love you. He goes, Mike, if you know you're going to have to go through some things in life and it's going to hurt. He goes, do you want to do it? I'm like, yes, bring it on. I'm like Brother Reagan, I mean, but we're kind of opposite in one thing. I want to go home. I want to die. Get me out of here. I just don't like the dying part. The hurting thing there, I mean, if it was like real quick, that's okay. I just want to go home and see Jesus. But you know what? He says, Mike, he goes, maybe I want you to stay there for a while. I'm like, okay, Lord, I'll stay there as long as you want me to. If I'm going to stay here, I want something to do, though. Give me something to do. I don't hate being down here. I need something to do. They tell me, so I've heard people say, you need a hobby. The church is my hobby. I don't know what else to make my hobby. You ask the people at church, man, I'm there all the time. I don't know what else to do. Every time I turn around to get out, something else pops in my head. It's like, you need to do this. I'm like, and this, and that, and this, and that. And so, and this, and this, and this, and that, and this. And I'm like, Lord, will this ever end? No. Then I go out here and y'all build another building. I'm like, I don't want to do that. But I see it coming. You know why? Because the Lord's not going to be done with you until he's done with you. And he wants you to minister to somebody else. So sometimes he runs us through things. He runs us out there and he does things that you'll never, ever, ever understand. I was reading the other day, David was down in Ziklag, and he went over, talked to Achish, and Achish was going to go out and fight with Saul, and David was going to go, man. I think David would have been a good soldier David was an honest man. He loved his king. That's his new country. He changed his heart and he went over there, and you never know what would have happened when he got there. So But Achish said, no, the princes don't want you to go. David said, why, man? You said, you know me. He said, I know you have the heart of an angel. I know you do. He goes, I know you do. He said, but my princes, I can't go against them. So go back. David was upset for a little bit there until he got back to Ziklag. You know, if the Lord hadn't turned that thing on him with Achish, it would have been 30, 40 more days that they had taken that family, his family gone farther away. And he maybe never got him back. And the Lord said, David, you don't need to go. You need to go take care of home. Go get home. Go get home. And David goes to that. The Lord solved a couple of problems there. He got him from fighting against Israel. He got him fighting against the king. Got him away from that thing. Let it be solved another way and handle another problem over here. And David had no idea about any of it. You know, sometimes, brethren, we just go, this thing that's going on this year, don't let it drag you down. It will be over soon. Somehow it will be over. I'm just about done with this thing. I only got five more pages. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good edification. For even Christ pleased not himself. And I mentioned that. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience. Patience is a strange thing. Romans 5:3 says, somebody asked one time, pray for patience for me. Well, that's tribulation is coming right with it. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation. Do you glory in tribulation? Well, that's high ground. That's high ground. After a while, you'll get down the road somewhere, and that stuff will come, and you'll like shake it off and say, okay, let's get through this thing, man. Let's go. People are watching you. And sometimes they just need a little bit of encouragement to do it. And if we're all falling and falling, I was talking to a preacher yesterday, and he said he talked to six or seven other preachers, and they're all worried about who's going to be president next. Why? I'm worried about what I'm going to preach next Sunday. That's what I'm worried about. Some of y'all have sermons like 100 million sermons, and you just choose one, pick and choose, and I am not that way. I'm like, oh God, what am I going to do? It would have been a blessing if I didn't have to preach down here, then I wouldn't have had to come up with that. I could use this up there. Now, you see, I got to come up with something else. Brethren, this book is just loaded for bear. I'm telling you, this is a precious thing right here that God gave us, and it's going to get you through anything. You don't have to worry about nothing. Through patience, though we, it says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. You got a Bible that's written that's got a ton of stuff in here that will just about get any situation you were ever in. You think Naomi thought it was a good idea to go down into Moab and lose her husband and two sons? No, but God had to get a girl down there named Ruth to come back. Naomi did it. Boy, at the end of that thing, Naomi's like, yeah, man, I got a grandbaby right here in my arms. I never thought I'd ever see one, and here he is right here. And that's in the bloodline of Jesus Christ. You say, what is all that stuff? That's God. He says, get behind me. Just get behind me. Just get behind me. Patience. You got to have some patience. Sometimes you got to wait. I'm learning at 63 years old. I'm starting to learn slow, way, way down. I mean, just way down. I mean, just almost like just stop. And you know, I learned that a long time ago with my little girl, Jessie. She's not so little anymore. I mentioned this before. I might have mentioned it here, but she was behind me. We was in a crowd, and Beth entrusted my daughter with me. And if you know my wife, she never entrusted any of the kids with me for lots of good reasons. So Jesse, me and her's in a crowd of people at this church, and she's like this tall, man. She's just like, I mean, she's just trouble all the time. And she's like this, and I'm walking through the crowd, and all of a sudden it dawns on me. I said, I really need to find out where Jesse. I look back, and she's gone. So I'm going through the whole crowd everywhere, man. I'm looking everywhere. I'm looking under everything. I'm looking around everything, and she's nowhere to be found, and she's not over here. I'm thinking, oh, Beth is going to divorce me, kill me. It's over. My life is gone. I don't know what to do. And I did this, and she was right there. That little girl had been watching the back of my legs. And wherever I went, she went. Boy, there's a lesson in that. If I would just do that to Jesus Christ, you know, I might not. All those statutes might actually come into play, and I don't get the judgment thing. If I would just sit there and say, Lord, where do you want me to put my foot today? David always did that. If I read my Bible, he said, Lord, should I go up against the Philistines? Yeah, I'll go up and get them. Lord, should I go up? No, don't go do that. Do it this way, a totally different way. I like the way the Lord does his stuff. Have you ever thought that? He said, and the Gentiles. You know, we got in there. You do know that, right? We're in there. We're in there right like that, man. I mean, they can't get rid of us. Although they wanted to, they couldn't. Jesus done got us. And comfort of the scriptures. You got the scriptures all sitting behind us. Job, this time about Job. You know what? Job was weak. His three friends were, Job was strong. His three friends were weak. They knew some stuff. They didn't know God. Job was trying to find God. And he was willing to go through whatever he had to go through to get there. And he got there at the end of that thing. It still marvels me in chapter 42. He's still got the boils and no kids and no wealth and no nothing. And he's talking to God and he's perfectly satisfied. He doesn't need nothing else, man. I mean, the Lord, he could say, hey, Lord, by the way, could you like get rid of these boils? Just a couple of them anyways, like off my bottom and my feet. Every time I sit down, they just hurt. No, he didn't say none of that stuff, man. He just said, Lord, I mean, I'll shut my mouth. I'm perfectly happy in your presence. And the Lord said, hey, you other guys, y'all better get him pray for you because I'm getting ready to tear you up. And those guys said, woo, and Job went and did it. And then he gave Job back everything he had. David was strong and Joab was weak. Although Joab was a strong man physically, his walk with God was weak. And David, that's why God put David in charge so that David could teach, help the infirmities of the weak. David was always one of those men that would go and help people. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is the two men on the road to Emmaus, and I'll go quickly through this. But here they are, they're scared. I mean, Jesus died, and one of those men, Cleopas, his wife was there at the tomb when they were there, and they looked and Jesus is gone. And they're walking on the road to Emmaus. They've already let the troubles of the world get in there, and they lost the 3.5 years they had with Jesus Christ. They lost it. It's gone. That's how easy this stuff goes away. And they're walking. Oh, man, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? You're going to trust the Lord. That's what you're going to do. I'll tell you what you're going to do. That's what you need to do. There's no other answer. I'm sorry, there's no other answer. You're going to sit there and they go, oh, what do we do? And when you know, here comes this man walking up. He says, what's going on, guys? They go, haven't you heard? Heard what? And it's the Lord walking right with them. You know, when you pick up his book, that's exactly what you have sitting here. The Lord knows the hurt you're going through and the trials you're going through. And each and every one of us are... They're all different in this room. If each person stood up and said, look, I'm going through this right now, it would be 100 different things probably that would go through here. But the Lord knows every single one, and he knows how to get you through that and walk you through it. There's some reasons why he's trying to do all that, because he wants to strengthen us to help somebody else. The whole thing. He says that through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. You know what this world is lacking? Hope. I like Dr. Adrian Rogers. He said this about hope. Best thing I think I've ever heard. The definition of hope is confidence based on the Word of God. I'm like, yeah, man. I said, that's it. That's it. I said, I believe this. I believe it. 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 I just believe it. Do you understand it? No, don't have to understand it, but I believe it anyways. It's right there. He said it. And somehow, someday, he'll tell me what I need to know, but the answer is right there. Study to show thyself approved unto God. You're supposed to look in this thing and try to find the answer the best you can. And then you depend on the Holy Spirit to guide and direct you. But when he says based confidence, you have to have a confidence. God's looking for somebody who says, hey, will you go fight the giant? Yes, send me, I'll take him out. I'm not afraid to do it. I might be scared on the way out there. But it's going to come to a place, really, I found out in my life, my short little life I've had so far, that you get this fear that, oh man, I'm going to get, no, it's either you or him, and I'm going to choose you, Lord, and all of a sudden the fear goes away. And the next thing you know, you're on the other side. You're on the other side of that thing. And the Lord is behind you. But in peace, he says, now the God, the rest of that verse goes in, verse 13 down there, and I'm just about done. And now the God of hope fill you with all joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Brother, this world is going to try, the devil's going to try every way he can to get you to lose your joy. And peace, great peace, have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Preacher said last night, he said, you hit me, you do anything you want, and you see me. Well, no, that's Dr. Adrian Rogers said that same thing. He said, you see me here, and this is all planned, and the preaching is all planned, and everything's planned. He goes, so that's what you see. He goes, but you see me in the road out there and you give me a ticket and see how I act. He goes, that's me. That's Adrian Rogers right there. And I was like, well, you know, that's good. You know, that man is a great preacher. He really has some things, if you stop for just a second and listen to what he says. I'm thinking, some of these men out here can teach us things. And sometimes, I'm 63 years old, I got to change some of the things I do sometimes. I have to think. I got to think, man. Hang on a second. I think I got to almost shut up. And peace in believing. You know how you got saved? You believed. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart. It has never changed. You know what God really wants me to do? Just believe him. Not a whole lot more. Not a whole lot less. Just believe him. You know, you can do great things with him if you just believe him. And that you should abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. He wants you to exceed your expectations. It isn't just getting saved, brethren. It's way beyond that. Our Bible is sitting here. He goes, I've given you a tech manual for you that'll get you through life. It'll get you through everything. It'll make you different. As I was preacher was talking last night about singing hymns, and I love hymns. And as I was going down through here, I thought about this one right here. It says, I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, in him alone I see. All I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. In sorrow, he's my comfort. In trouble, he's my stay. He tells me every care on him to roll. He has all my grief has taken and all my sorrow borne. In temptation, he is my strong and mighty tower. I have all for him forsaken and all my idols torn from my heart, and now he keeps me by his power. Though all the world forsake me and Satan tempt me sore, through Jesus I shall safely reach the goal. He will never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here. Not here. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. While I live by faith and do his blessed will, a wall of fire about me, I've nothing now to fear. From his manna he my hungry soul shall fill. Then sweeping up to glory to see his blessed face, where the rivers of delight shall ever roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. I'm done, brother.